Welcome to the Full of Money audio commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 5:25 British Summer Time. Again, another interesting day in here today. I'd say the main, one of the main things that's happening is that the grain complex is getting proper bashing in here. Particularly soybeans. Soybeans is down. Just let me update you. 24 points. That's 658 and a half. Actually, before I go any further, I should say this is the big picture long-term audio, and at the beginning here, I'm just going to go quickly through what's happening in the markets today before moving on to our larger themes. And I hope not to keep you too long, but I'll try my best. But yeah, soybeans really getting pasted in here. They've come down out of this range, so that looks like they're going to go a bit lower. Same story with corn and wheat. We looked at corn on the audio a couple of days ago. It does look like that is coming down, and it's coming down quite quick. So we could see it around the 220 to 230 level, at which point it is almost certainly a buy, definitely into a buying range. We had those very good figures on jobs coming out of the US. That has obviously hit treasuries. Treasuries are currently sitting at 114.08. That's down 21 points. So that is that's quite a big move on the downside there. 114 had been an area of resistance about 7 or 8 months ago. So we might see a little bit of support creeping in at 114, but at the moment, they really do look like they're going down. If you look at those yield charts I posted as well, you can see that those yields, especially that long-term monthly chart, that there's been a loss of momentum on the downside. And while these things, the yields really are bottom fishing at the moment, it does look like that there's only one way for them to go, and that's up. But that's not going to happen today or tomorrow or even next month. It could take really quite a long time for this to play out. They've been coming down for 20 years. It could very well take them another 20 years to get back up. But it does look like we are sort of in a changing of the guard here right now. Also, in the last 5 or 6 years, what we have seen is a move away from what traditionally would have been. If bonds go up, equities go down. What we're really seeing at the moment now is them both moving in tandem. So when we had bonds coming off today, you also saw stock markets coming off because the fears of higher interest rates are flowing back there, back into equities. They seem to have forgotten about them for the last 3 or 4 months, but the downward move in the S&P today, it's 2 days in a row where there's been relatively significant falls, down about 9 points at the moment at 1226. Excuse me. We might see a little bit of support creeping in around 1220. It's really not enough to scare the market, and we have had moves like this before, and it has rallied subsequently. A good example of that would be towards the end of June. So there's just not enough there yet to say that this stock market rally is over. But this is definitely something to keep our really our eyes peeled on. Let's see. Oh yes, the euro as well. On that news, the dollar strengthened up quite a bit on the news, on the employment news. So that has taken the dollar index back above 80, and the euro is still above 123, but really not an awful lot above 123. So we might see some additional ranging. It all really depends on what happens, but we're very much at the bottom side of the range, below the bottom side of the range on the dollar index. It would need to post a good upward dynamic to take us back into that range. If it does do that, then that would be a failed breakout on the downside, and there's a good chance we'd go back up and test the highs, if not make new highs. So it really is all to play for in currencies. That just moving into our sort of longer term big picture type of stuff. We do feel that we're in a generation-long period of PE ratio contraction and rising yields for global stock markets. That's our definition of a bear market, and that is something that will happen in rolling waves. So we think that this very good rally we've seen since 2003 is getting a little bit long in the tooth. It's getting a bit old, and a little bit looking a little bit overextended, it wouldn't be at all surprising to see a correction come in. Chances are, though, that that's not going to happen right away. We're probably going to see some ranging right now and see some fairly significant declines in the next 18 months. Over the very long term, the S&P could very well have a glass ceiling around the 1575 level, which is right up there around the highs of 2000, very much like the Dow Jones had a generational long ceiling around the 1025 level a number of decades ago. But really what it means is that we are in a very lengthy period of mean reversion, where again we get those that period of PE ratio contraction and rising yields, where investors really do get their expectations for a yield go up for in equities. So, the valuations start coming down, and that would fit right in with rising yields in bonds. If people can get 6 or 7% out of buying bonds, why be in equities at all? So, unless of course equities can give you a yield like that. So that is, just something to keep your mind on over the next decade or so. Again, this is very much long-term type of stuff. On the other hand, Japan, which is really very much in the latter stages of its base formation, and 12,000 has really become the sort of the earmark level for the Nikkei. It really it grazed it in during this week and has come back down from it. Again, no real dynamic on the Nikkei. But what we have seen is that over, well, since that high almost 15 years ago in the Nikkei, we have seen that very long bear market where valuations have contracted, and we are coming towards the end of that. We don't know exactly when that's going to end, but that is that the Japanese market is very much in an area where it's looking like it's going to go up. It's very much in a base formation, a big long-term base. The US markets are really quite the opposite. After I suppose one of the other main things we have seen is that that there's been an enormous amount of liquidity coming into the markets after the 97 crisis, the 2000 bubble, the 1999 bubble, Y2K, the bombings in 9/11, and that has put a lot of liquidity in. But what we are going to see is once liquidity starts to come out, we're going to see this valuation compression. The another area outside of Japan where we do see big opportunities on the upside, we have two major themes, and one of those is the resources boom and supply inelasticity. We think that that is something that is going to play out over the decade. It's been one of our major themes since 2003. And the other one are Asian emerging markets. Asian markets have really started to get their act together, especially since the Asian financial crisis, and they really are starting to move up really very nicely. If you look at those monthly charts that I've posted over the last week, you'll see that, for example, Korea today, it's right at the top of its range. This is an enormous range, and there has been ranging for over 10 years. When it does eventually break out on the upside, it could be really quite explosive. And if you compare the Korean chart with the Indian chart, Korea today looks like where India was 2 years ago, and we know what India has done. Obviously, India is a very, very different story. So, these things are not going to look exactly the same, but the chart patterns do look remarkably similar. So, Korea is definitely well up there on the asset reflation story in Asia. Now, as regards Asia and Japan and the US, people often talk about decoupling, and that really is the utopian ideal of brokers, that you can see one market going up, and when it stops going up, another one will go up immediately, and you'll have complete decoupling. Well, it's a bit of a fantasy land, and what David talks about makes a lot of sense is the Wall Street leash effect. When US markets are going up to steady, you will see these high beta Asian markets going up quite a bit more. But when Wall Street starts running into flak and starts going down, then that leash is going to get pulled right back in, and these Asian markets are going to stall. And of course, I mean, the what happens in the markets is that, you know, when you see capital in a foreign market, you know, doing rather well, and it starts coming off, people just take their profits to try and stop gaps in other places. So, moving on to bonds, treasuries are really the soft underbelly of the stock market, just like I said earlier. If yields continue to rise, they are going to start to worry equities. Again, that's not something that's happening right now, but as yields con start to move up, their impact on the equity market is going to become greater. In one of the other key things that we look at is the correlation between the Nikkei and the 10-year yields. It's almost a mirror image of each other on the chart patterns. The theory there has been that Japanese private investors have been putting their money into US bonds. And while a lot of people talk about China being a big holder of treasuries, Japan is actually the biggest holder. They've got nearly three times more bonds or treasuries than China does. So that's something really not to forget in a hurry. If we see the Japanese market starting to take off and the domestic Japanese investors starting to put their money back into the stock market, that is taking away a serious source of demand for treasuries. We see yields coming up in line with the Nikkei. That's something that we'll be watching for. If we do see yields coming up, you're going to see those weakness in bonds. It's going to unnerve investors. And with long-term rates pushing up, it will hit the stock markets. Let's not also forget oil. People had been talking about oil at $40 being a problem for the economy. Then it was $50. We're currently around $60. We haven't seen a big shakeout because of the oil price, but as oil goes up to $70, $80, $90, I'm not saying that's what's going to happen, but that's what could very well happen. That's going to weigh, it's going to be an even bigger headwind on the stock markets. But next question is, do we think that oil is going to go that high? Oil is no longer in a backwardation. That means that the speculation is driving the market right now. If we did see oil moving back into a backwardation, that would give it a lot more upside. At the moment, we're definitely seeing a loss of momentum up here at the top. It's very much in sort of a corrective phase. So I don't believe that there are going to be very many more oil shocks on the upside without a backwardation. Now let's move on to currencies. With the dollar at the moment, it does look like it's bottoming out of this 3-year long bear trend. Up there at 90 was a bit of psychological resistance for it. It's come off from there over the last week. It really has looked like it's broken down out of the range and has been quite weak. And versus some of the other currencies like the euro and the Swiss franc, both the euro and the Swiss franc are looking relatively strong. So, all depending on where it closes today, because it really is looking quite strong in here today. So, if it could very well be a failed breakdown on the downside, I think it is really, while I would say that the last week, I would say the possibility that we had seen the highs on the dollar's rally was about 55-45. This week, I'd say it's about 65-35. But there still is that 35% chance that this is a failed breakout to the downside. Again, we will see next week. I'm currently long of the euro, long of gold, and long of the New Zealand dollar. As regards how currency markets generally play out, excuse me, As regards how currency markets generally play out, the tops and bottoms are generally fairly prolonged. And what we are seeing right now is that the dollar has had a very good rally. It's at the top of the range. We could see it come right down. That wouldn't be particularly surprising. But wouldn't be what would be even less surprising if we saw extensive ranging over the next couple of years, where it moves between 80 and 90. And let's not forget that right at the moment we do have a very bullish consensus on the dollar. So that is one thing to keep in mind. As regards the correlation between the dollar and the precious metals, we saw platinum have a fantastic run this week, moving right up to 912, 915, something like that. And it does look like it got a little bit of ahead of itself. It's currently pretty much flat on the day at 911. Gold, on the other hand, has also been doing really very well, and we are seeing a loosening of the correlation between the dollar and gold or the precious metals. When the dollar does badly, these metals romp, and when the dollar is strong, they tend to hold fairly steadily. The best performers over the last week have been gold and platinum. Silver, which is generally high beta gold and is quite volatile, has really been very flat. Right now it's down 8 cents. That's at 716. We haven't seen really a rally in that this week at all, which is quite surprising. But the important thing to remember is that gold continues to hold above the previous highs in other currencies, in the euro, in the Swiss franc, in the yen. Particularly in the yen, there's a fantastic uptrend in gold. So what we are seeing is the second psychological perception stage of the gold, in the gold market, where people are beginning to see that it is a store of value in their own currencies. When it turns into a store of value in US dollars, that means we'll have entered the third stage, where the big part of the uptrend, the acceleration, starts to kick in. Again, that won't be for another couple of years at least. Rule of thumb, though, never pay up for commodities. These things are volatile. They have swinging cutbacks and bungee jumps, and so far it's paid to close your eyes and buy on the pullbacks. And I don't have any reason to believe that that's not going to work again in the future. I know that any time I've succumbed to greed and paid up for them, I've lost money. Anytime I've closed my eyes and bought them, I've done fairly well. So that's pretty much it from me. If you want to catch me on Bloomberg tomorrow, I put the times on the website. There's lots of time. I think they're showing it 8 times over the weekend, and I was, I suppose, caught with my pants down because I went in jeans and I was not expecting to be sitting in front of the camera. I was expecting to be sitting right behind the camera. But there you go. It wasn't as bad an experience as it initially came out. But thank you very much for your time. If there's anything at all that I can help you out with, please don't hesitate to contact me, and have a great weekend.